from breakout room to breakout room, we had people who were guiding. We just never wanted anyone to feel lost.
Yeah.
We wanted everyone to feel seen and supported and heard.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. It is 2024, and whether you're joining for the first time, 100th time, or for the 200th time, I am so glad you're here. I have lots of exciting things in store for you this year. Each episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast is designed to give you ideas you can try yourself, share with a colleague, or bookmark for later in the school year. Get ready for stories from my time in the classroom, the work I do now with schools and districts, and my travels to different EdTech events, as well as practical ideas and inspiring stories from new guests each month. If we mentioned something you'd like to check out, you'll find the link to it in the show notes. So don't forget to head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. This episode is sponsored by my AI resources. Head to classtechtips.com/AI to access my free ebook with ChatGPT prompts, information on my AI and education membership, details about my quick reference guide, and links to every blog post I've written and podcast episode I've recorded about artificial intelligence. For everything AI, head to classtechtips.com/AI. This week's episode is titled, How to Host a Successful Conference for Educators with Dr. Jennifer Byrne and Sean Stanton. I had the pleasure of speaking at the NSU Teachers of Tomorrow Conference in January, and it was such a well-organized event. So I knew that I had to invite onto the podcast Dr. Byrne and Sean so they could talk a bit about what it takes to organize an event like this and give a behind-the-scenes look at organizing a conference like this one. They have lots of gems and practical advice to share for anyone interested in running an event themselves or just curious about what it takes. And you'll hear as we talk today about their experiences at Nova Southeastern University. That's where the Teachers of Tomorrow conference took place a few weeks before we recorded this episode. So let's dive in to the conversation together. I know you're going to appreciate all their tips and insight. So okay. Welcome to the podcast today. I'm so excited to chat with you both about how to host a successful conference for educators. But before we jump in, would love for you both to share a little bit about your role in education. What does your day-to-day look like?
Sure. So I am a current senior at Nova Southeastern University. My name is Sean Stanton. I am the founder of the Teachers of Tomorrow Conference. And obviously, you know, being a senior, I'm going to be graduating in May and transitioning to a full-time role within the Fisher Academy, which is our prestigious teaching program here at the university.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And hi there. I'm Dr. Jennifer Byrne, and I'm an assistant professor at Nova Southeastern in their College of Education in the Fischler Academy. And my day-to-day looks like teaching a bunch of really terrific students like Sean, and I love them. I love my students. I love this university, and I love the diversity of it. And that's kind of why we focused on, you know, the theme of the conference with equity. That's actually one of the main reasons, because that's one of our core values. So.
Yeah, I had such a wonderful time at your event. I spoke at your event in January and would love for listeners to hear about your why for starting this event. What goals were you hoping to accomplish when you first came up with the idea to host a conference for educators?
Sure. Yeah. So as a student in the program, you know, particularly in the education program at the university, you know, we were a fairly new program in terms of, you know, we were only, 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And we hadn't really had an opportunity or an event for students to come together in a professional way to learn from other people in their fields, but also as a chance to kind of have community members come and share knowledge, you know, about just their career, their personal life, the work-life balance, different pathways that there can be as an educator. because sometimes it's a black and white. A lot of people think it's like a black and white. You only can be a teacher. And we obviously come to learn that there are so many other different things that you can do. And then Dr. Byrne, I don't know if you want to touch on kind of the other aspects as well.
Yeah, sure. Well, so Sean started this last year, and last year it was much smaller on scale. We had 3 speakers and it was pretty locally sourced, but it was still pretty impactful. And we found that we had, you know, we approached Future Educators of America schools, you know, local high school educators, and we found a pretty direct correlation between students who attended to the students who actually wanted to come and be part of the program. So I think, you know, as Sean said, I think first and foremost, it was to create professional opportunities for Fischler students. But I think we also wanted to make those inroads into the community for educators, local educators in districts, but also with our future educators, you know, who are high school students. And then once we sort of, and then this year we decided, let's go big, you know, and Sean said, I want to take this to the next level. And when you say that to me, I'm like, let's do it. So, you know, I attend conferences and I know Monica, we've met before, and you know, there's just some really terrific national and international level speakers. And so I think we wanted to kind of bring that to South Florida. We wanted to, of course, center on the focus on that topic of equity and education technology. We were hoping that we would have pathways to certifications, very hands-on, experiential, you know, practical learning that our students, our current students could take into future classrooms, but also that local educators could, you know, implement in their classrooms too. But I think the other aspect was just wider exposure to our Fischler College of Education and the Fischler Academy. We're pretty proud of it. And so we love our pedagogy. So we wanted to bring more awareness to that. So I think those were our main goals.
It was so wonderful being one in your gorgeous spaces and just the energy there and watching the students, right, who are there. And I'm sure, you know, Sean, you could speak to this experience too, just really showing up and being part of the event and having educators who are practicing in a classroom environment sitting right next to them in the same room, right, taking in that information and everyone thinking about what it would look like for them to take the content that they are learning from a workshop session and bring it back to their student teaching, to their classroom practice, to someone they're coaching or mentoring. So how do you make sure your content for a conference like this aligns with the evolving needs and challenges being in a classroom?
Sure. So just I'll start kind of, and then we'll touch on, Dr. Byrne can go into the professor side of it. But from the planning, you know, from the planning side for the conference, we obviously, it was important for us to partner with the Future Educators of America schools because those schools also align with our pedagogy within our program. They're all designed for obviously teachers to be entering the classroom once they have their degree. So that was important for us to include, especially considering that it was a Future Educator conference. But I think also just making sure that there was a variety of educators with the conference. I mean, it's great sometimes when you have like a conference and maybe it's a specific population, but we really tried and we focused. I mean, obviously we were, you know, this year, the topic was equity, but also diversity is important. So we had, like we mentioned, we had about 45 high school students. Then we had probably 50, you know, students from our program, many students from outside of our program, educators that were in their first year and some that were retired after work 45 years. So for us, I think having that energy, having that diversity is what really allowed us to talk best about, you know, those topics that are challenging the classroom right now. And then Dr. Byrne, I don't know if you want to talk about the more specific details.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think that, you know, Sean, you hit on a lot of that. We're a South Florida institution. And when you think about it, you know, Miami-Dade County is the third largest school district in the country. Broward is the fifth largest, or I think the sixth largest. And then Palm Beach is the 10th largest. So, you know, just within our three arch tri-county area, we have, it's a huge population, but we have a tremendous amount of diversity. And NSU is a minority, I think it is actually, it's minority, but we have a tremendous majority of minority students at our school. And we're really pretty proud of that. We also try and, you know, well, not try, we are very attuned to the standards. So we talk, my students are probably tired of hearing me talk about standards, but I do talk a lot about standards, whether it's CAPE or FEAP or ISTE or the Next Gen Science Standards or, you know, AP, IB, ACE, you know, Florida Best, like everything that we try to make sure that everything is aligned to what they're actually going to need to be teaching in the classroom. Right. And so, but I think I, but also my colleagues, we attend national and regional conferences, we present, but we try to learn best practices and then bring them back and share them with our community. So, you know, I tried very hard to bring, oh my gosh, I think we just had such phenomenal speakers. I was just so honored to be up there with you all, just the brains and the hearts around me. So I thought that was, and I think you could, like you said, the energy was really great. Okay. But I think that we also try to focus on bringing innovation into the classroom. Yeah. And that idea of, you know, thinking about that, whether you're a brand new teacher, whether you're a future teacher, whether you're a veteran teacher, we can always learn, like everybody, every day, we can always learn and we can always, hopefully, we're very student-centered, but hopefully, as we educate our educators, hopefully we teach them to have student-centered classrooms, you know, where everyone is learning together, you know? So I think that was part of our goal, you know?
And as, you know, someone who is in all the spaces and chatting with people right throughout the event, it really felt like that was some of the big takeaways for participants. And I know, Dr. Byrne, you and I were chatting in Orlando a couple weeks or maybe 2 weeks after the conference. And I know one thing I shared with you there that I want to bring up and talk about so listeners can consider it too for their own planning is how much I love the way you included time for networking and conversations. Part of that, you know, was that the space we were in was so conducive to just moving about a little bit, maybe finding another circle to join to talk about things. What were some of the considerations you had when designing the schedule for your event?
Great question. So obviously this type of event, you're planning something like this, I learned it the hard way, but I think the right way. You know, the first year you try to do it all yourself and you have a group of 3 to 4 people that you can really trust. And so this year what we did was we still got a group of amazing people, but we needed more hands on deck. That's why we brought Dr. Byrne on board and why we had 6 other students that were part of a strategic conference planning team. And so we spent a lot of time planning. And we purposefully tried to make sure that, you know, we wanted to strike a balance between having 190 people in one room, but also making it feel like you could have a one-on-one personal conversation with people. And I know that something we talked about a lot during our planning was to make sure that, okay, we know that we need 15 minutes for this time slot to get people here to there, but we're going to allocate 25 minutes because, I mean, if you run a conference like a tight ship, it's not going to go well. And even when things were off schedule, even when the group panel went 10 minutes overboard, I was like, oh, we're 15 minutes past schedule. But nobody else in the room other than the people planned it knew that we were off schedule. And it's because we purposefully designed it backwards, knowing that we were going to have these you know, different times allotted for things that we're going to run over or some things that might go shorter as well.
And I think, you know, as an attendee, and participant, right? In addition to speaking, you could feel just sometimes there's an event, there could be a little tension, right? When everyone's like, oh no, right? This one thing, right? And it didn't feel that way, right? I think everything that happened at your event felt so intentional, right? And purposeful and was just really a special schedule with you felt like you could stop and talk to someone for a couple minutes and you weren't running and that you could have those conversations where there may be a learning from someone who is not in a formal role right at the event, but they shared a takeaway or a connection that they made. And I think that's really, really powerful. So, you know, as you're thinking about what other people might be receptive of for their own planning and reflecting even as you're growing this event, are there any must-have software solutions you'd recommend to someone who is interested in organizing an event for educators?
Well, a lot of our tech, we started with Canva, I'll be honest. I mean, we did our graphics, our pitch deck, and we have links to our pitch deck and, you know, those sorts of things. But so we did our graphics, our flyers and everything on Canva. And honestly, next year it's going to be a lot easier because Canva AI. And I mean, you could do like Adobe Firefly too. I think you could do some really fantastic graphics on that. But we did. And then we just had a lot of hyperlinked docs and we made sure that everybody had access to the planning documents. I mean, that was super important. We used to, you could do, you know, forms, whether it was Google or Microsoft. We did a lot of that for, you know, for registration and things like that. Our amazing librarians, God love our amazing librarians. They did libguides and they had landing pages, you know, through the school. But a lot of stuff that we created, you know, we created and then sent to them and they were kind enough to host it. We, of course, had Zoom. So we had some of those options and we tried in our planning to make sure that, so for every single breakout room, we had students who were both present in the classroom. Plus we had people behind the scenes who were on the Zoom monitoring. So we tried to make sure. And then even like going from, you know, from breakout room to breakout room, we had people who were guiding. We just never wanted anyone to feel lost.
Yeah.
We wanted everyone to feel seen and supported and heard. And I think that, you know, we, of course, we did social media communication. So Instagram, X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, Facebook. But we did email blasts. We did flyers and posters for communication. So, you know, communications to the districts. There was a lot of that sort of thing going on. I think next year we're talking about maybe investigating conference planning apps, but we're going to have more conversations to have in the future. But I think for one other little thing, it's not an app, but I would say within nod towards UDL, we tried really hard to make sure that every participant was supported, had access. Yeah. We had squishies on the table for people that they could take home. You know, we tried to make sure that the slides were accessible afterwards. We tried to make sure that every accessible format. So I think that was something that we tried to do. I mean, well, we can always get better, but I think that's something else that thinking about like CAST and UDL, you know, that's something I think really important.
And even just as you're talking about some of the tools that you all use, I mean, a lot of them are familiar tools that people might use in other ways and not realize that they could repurpose, right, as part of the planning and organizing. And even just, you know, you mentioning Canva, hyperlinked docs and forms, right? For someone who might feel intimidated to get started with an event, just knowing, and I'm sure you all feel this way, like you now have a library of content you can pull from for next year, right? Like you're putting in maybe that work up front, but now you have essentially templates and you have all the things kind of ready to go. Of course, you're going to tweak and make changes, right? But I think that's just a great thing for someone who might feel like, oh no, like I have to start from scratch from all these things. Like I just love that you called out some tools that might already be in someone's tool belt, right? As they're thinking through, right? This whole process. And so, you know, for someone who's listening today, who might consider running an event, big or small or mid-sized or however they would describe it, right? In their district or region, what is a piece of advice you'd give them? Maybe that, you know, helps give them that little push to jump in and get started.
I love this question. So I think a key specifically to what we have done and a lot of the feedback that we have gotten, because feedback is very important. A lot of that feedback that we've already went through, you know, we invited six of these nationally recognized speakers, obviously you being one of them. But to have the event as sort of, you know, everybody there is passionate. You know that we had that mix, that diversity of people. That was something on the feedback form that was very, very good feedback. And that was that we kind of made it sort of like that feeling of a VIP event in the sense that you could go and talk to somebody. It wasn't a room full of 10,000 people where you're just moving on to the next. Mm-hmm. So I would urge people, you know, who are planning to create an event in their, whether it is in their district or their school even, start small. I mean, you know, there has to be a growth from one year to another. So, I mean, something that we've learned for sure is that we went the first year from 75 people to now 190. So that's growth. But we're having the conversations. It's like, you know, we don't have a problem with capping it at 250 people and being satisfied with that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's important because you want to be able to develop those one-on-one connections. I mean, many of our students got offered internships, things that are more valuable than having more people in the room.
Right.
And then, you know, obviously, like I mentioned before, it's kind of a part of our pedagogy within the Fisher College, but building with the end in mind. You know, so like you said, is we thought, okay, what are these participants going to think when they're transitioning from the room? What would help them transition? What would the speakers like when they're in their room? You know, making sure that we tried, and of course, we have things to work on for next year, but making sure, you know, that each room had, you know, somebody there dedicated to
work. Adapters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Adapters or somebody there to help with any needs in the room. You can't just hope everything goes right. You know, so those were just a few things. And then Dr. Brennan, if you wanted to add anything.
Sure. I think that beginning with a really clear vision, we from the very beginning, we started to think, okay, what are our goals? What's our vision for this? And then I think creating that buy-in, as Sean mentioned, we knew that something like this was going to take a lot of people and a lot of participation. So we had the pre-professional committee, and they were, I'm really like 30 students who were completely dedicated. And but I think that the other thing is that once you have that vision and you have that buy-in, I think that the structure, so we had committees and subcommittees, we had team leaders, we had regular monthly meetings. And then as we got closer, we had weekly meetings. but we also, once we said, okay, you're in charge of this, and I'm going to give credit to Sean to this and to the students themselves. This was the student-run organization. You know, we let them do it. And we guided and we held, you know, we had benchmarks that had to be met, that we had timelines, deadlines. But, you know, we created a pretty clear pitch deck, I think, you know, so that we could communicate that same vision to our department, to our colleagues, to donors, to sponsors. We had to have a pretty clear and consistent message and brand that we could communicate in order to make sure that this was actually going to happen. Because, you know, funding is something, like, you have to plan for the funding. And that was, you know, that was something else that took a lot of time and attention that we were able to ultimately achieve. So, and then I think one last thing is that when it's over, and I think this was a hallmark of the conference itself, we really believe in reflection.
Yeah.
And that feedback loop. So is going back, and we went back with the pre-professional committee. We all sat down and, you know, we said, you know, okay, now that we've done this, we're thinking about next year. But, you know, but also saying thank you. We said thank you to a lot of people.
Sure.
It took a lot of people to make it a success. And we did not do it ourselves. This was definitely a group effort. So, you know, I think those were sort of like the frameworks that we stuck to. We tried to.
Well, even just that idea of, you know, having the plan, knowing what you want to do, but then setting those benchmarks to say, like, we really need to be here by this date, or like, by this date, we must have this happen, right? And being able to say that, right? Of course, things might change or be a little flexible, right? But this idea that you have a vision for, like, when those check-ins are and what you hope to accomplish by a certain time. And I love, of course, and I think that especially for a conference for educators run by educators, right? We all know the importance of reflection and taking that time and carving it out and putting that meeting on the calendar after the event to say, let's unpack all of this, right? And say what we're going to take into consideration for next year. And that leads me to my next question for you all, which is, right, what are your plans for 2025? What has been, like, percolating over the past 6 weeks or so? Like, what are you thinking forward for next year?
Sure. So I know that, like we had mentioned a few times, that feedback is very, very important. So feedback that we've gotten from some speakers, from participants, but as well as also our sponsors for the conference. Obviously, it was a one-day type conference, especially for people that are traveling. You know, we are definitely considering making it a two-day event, just so that it can be, you know, one day is more focused, you know, on getting to know people, networking, but also, you know, maybe sort of a pre-conference. And then that second day is really the nitty-gritty workshops and that type of thing. So we are exploring that option for next year. And then something, again, that I just think is important to stress is that we are happy with the 200 to 250 participants. You have to know your space and you have to know your limitations. And I think that's important. You know, we got offered to do it in the Case Arena, which can hold 5,000 people. And it's just not the same feeling.
Yeah.
So we are pretty much sticking to the 200 to 250 people, you know, range for people. We like the personal feel. And then I don't know if you want to mention more about that certification path for next year, Dr. Byrne.
Yeah, because we wanted to, with our pre-professional committee and with our Fischler students, we're actually going to have separate opportunities during the year so that they can get certified. But we were considering having like a day before or a day after doing a full day certification so that, you know, people have options. They don't have to attend every single thing, but maybe have a day certification. People can sign up for that. You know, and then the other thing is that we were looking at doing professional development certifications for the district teachers so that they can actually get, and that takes planning too. That there were a lot of things that I think as we were going through, we went, that's a good idea. We should have done that earlier. And wait, but I'm going to say we had the foresight not to necessarily try and cram it in. We said that's a next year thing. And we're going to put that on the plan for next year. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to put it on the plan, you know, on the plan for next year. And so the other thing is we're talking about maybe like a mixer or something to give more time where it's casual and just fun. Because sometimes conferences, golly, I mean, you know, we've gone to conferences. You're racing from one.
Oh my gosh, right.
It's a blur. And, you know, it's like ships passing in the night. You literally see friends. You take a quick selfie. Hey, we're here together. And then you're off to the next thing. And I think that, you know, again, some of the best feedback and the most frequent feedback we got was that the quality happened in the spaces in between. The quality happened here. You know, students could go up and talk to a national level speaker. Local educators could talk to each other. You know, everyone could learn from each other in those spaces, even at the end where we stopped and paused and, you know, and said, what did you learn? Like, what were the things you learned? Frankly, one of my happiest moments was looking at the faces of our speakers while our students and our participants were saying what they learned and what they enjoyed. Because I thought, as someone who has been a speaker, you don't get that opportunity to hear what people got out of it. So I think we're trying to find that balance between kind of taking the next step up, but also being very mindful of keeping the things that made it a successful conference for the first, even in the first place, you know, trying to make it personal and meaningful. So yeah, I think that's kind of what we're hoping for next year.
I love that. I love that combination of just leaning into the values, right? Your original why, even like we started off today, of wanting things to be intentional in terms of the numbers and how people can connect with each other, but then also honoring like those wish list items that you might have had in the past that now you're set up really for success to do, right? As these years go on in the conference. So I just so appreciate both of your time today, unpacking this, providing some context and tips for educators. Where can people connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
Sure. So you can go to my LinkedIn, which is just Sean Stanton, or you can also email me. I have a work email at Nova. Also, if you want to learn more about the program behind the machine, the program behind the conference, there will be a website link as well for the Fischler Academy here at Nova. And again, we have two different teaching programs within the state of Florida, one in Tampa Bay, and wanted the Fort Lauderdale Davie campus, which aims to place K-12 educators within the state of Florida, but also within the country. And more importantly, quality, passionate, energized educators in the classroom. So,
yeah. And if you, I'm going to say something very similar, which is that, you know, my email is very simple, jburn@nova.edu. I'm on X, Twitter, you know, whatever you want to call it, Instagram. My LinkedIn is the same thing, Jennifer Byrne. But we also, our director, Dr. Luke Williams, his email, he's also through Nova. And, you know, you can look up NSU, Fischler College of Education and Fischler Academy. And, you know, we've got a lot of really great programs, but it's the people that make it. It's really is the people, the students and my colleagues. I just can't say enough about it. I'm thrilled to be a part of it. So.
Well, thank you both so much for your time and your insight and just for joining today.
Thank you. This has been super fun.
I'm so glad that Dr. Byrne and Sean could join today to give a behind-the-scenes look at this special event. I'll put some links here in the show notes so you can learn more, of course, about their work, but also stay tuned for things that are coming up on the calendar and events that they're running. But let's make this EdTech easy, like we always do, with a few key points from today's episode. Consider your primary goals for the event. Use tech tools to create templates.
collect and review reflections after the event. Remember, you can find the show notes and full list of resources from today's episode, along with all the ways to connect with Dr. Jennifer Byrne and Sean Stanton by heading to classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 260. If you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify or another podcast app, you should see a link to the show notes. It kind of looks like a link to a blog post, but it'll take you back to my site directly to the episode. This episode is sponsored by my AI resources. Head to classtechtips.com/AI to access my free ebook with ChatGPT prompts, information on my AI and education membership, details about my quick reference guide, and links to every blog post I've written and podcast episode I've recorded about artificial intelligence. For everything AI, head to classtechtips.com/AI. This March, we'll celebrate 5 years of the Easy EdTech podcast. To help celebrate, I'm hoping you can do us a favor. Leave a rating or review for the podcast wherever you're listening today. Spotify will let you tap on the stars, and Apple Podcasts will let you tap on the stars too and leave a 1 or 2 sentence review. A big thank you in advance for helping us get ready to celebrate this March.